listening to Musically Speaking on 91.9 KVCR. My name is Margaret Worsley, and I'm Associate Professor of Music at San Bernardino Valley College. My guest today is pianist Lara Downs. Honored as 2022 Classical Woman of the Year by Performance Today, American pianist Lara Downs has been called a musical ray of hope by NBC News and an explorer whose imagination is fired by bringing notice to the underrepresented and forgotten. Lara's adventurous approach to concept and curation have created a unique series of acclaimed recordings, including her 2023 release, Love at Last, on the Pentatone label, which reached number one on the Billboard Classical chart and was featured as an NPR Tiny Desk concert. In 2022, Reflections, Scott Joplin Reconsidered, also reached the top of the Billboard chart and was featured in the New York Times and on NPR's Morning Edition. Lara Downs is also the relatively new evening host on KUSC's Evening Music with Lara Downs, weeknights from 8 p.m. to midnight. She'll be the closing keynote speaker for the upcoming Association of California Symphony Orchestras conference at the Mission Inn in Riverside, and I'm so thrilled and honored she could set aside a little time to chat with us today. Lara Downs, welcome to Musically Speaking.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with who you are. Can you just let us know where you're from and where you're based?
I grew up in San Francisco, had my first musical training there, and then left with my family, mom and two sisters, and a good bit of time in Europe when I was in my teens, and then I was in New York for a while, and then I've ended up back in California. Home is in Sacramento. My husband teaches at UC Davis, so that is my home airport.
Nice. That's important. Where are you flying in and out of?
Right. And it's a good one. It's a good one.
Yes. And that's so interesting to kind of reflect on of where you've lived. I mean, from around the United States over to Europe. And I would imagine that that has some cultural influence on your music and on your artistry.
It does. And, you know, I think that a lot of my work is sort of centered on this idea that music, not to be cliched about it, but it is a universal language in the sense that it does connect us across time and place and, you know, the sort of the false boundaries of our individual experience. And I do think that spending my life in many different places and different environments has made that very true for me, because music has been my universal language everywhere I've gone and everywhere that I go. And I do see it as connective tissue.
Mm-hmm. I love that. We could deep dive into all of your amazing albums, but we just don't have time today. So I thought I'd ask about your latest release, Love at Last. Can you describe to us what this project was about and maybe some of the tracks you're particularly proud of?
Oh, sure. I hesitate. I don't want to call this a pandemic project by any means, but this is centered on music that came my way over the last few years when I think my focus on music changed somewhat in terms of just, you know, what I found important and what I found essential. I certainly found myself thinking a lot about music that, again, connects, communicates, consoles, all of those things. And so I was finding music, people were writing music for me, and I was just finding music that spoke to that shared humanity that we all, you know, do participate in. And so I ended up with a big pile. And I have a new relationship with the Pentatone label, and so they wanted to know what I was going to do with the pile. And I was sort of toying around with, I mean, I knew, you know, I knew what the concept was. I was just having trouble defining it. And then I found this poem, which ended up being the inspiration for the title of the album and also ended up saying exactly what I wanted to say with this music. And it was just a really funny thread that led me to the poem. One day I just started thinking about this song that we used to sing in temple when I was a kid. It's like folk song. And I didn't know what it was called. I was just remembering the hook, and then I dug around and finally ended up identifying the song. And it turns out that the text of this song goes back to a Ukrainian poet from the late 19th century, and it's just a beautiful poem that speaks about the power of love to carry us through terrible times. And I think, you know, love equates hope, and those are the two threads throughout this album.
How profound and how apropos for the times we're in now. That's wonderful. You're listening to Musically Speaking with me, Margaret Worsley. We're talking today to pianist Lara Downs about her musical projects and appearance at AXO. You are a world-renowned pianist. You've played with the Philadelphia Orchestra, the Boston Pops, Detroit Symphony, and many others. but you've also got a commendable collection of albums you've made. Do you have a preference of performing for live audiences, or do you rather like the studio setting, which is a lot more solitary?
Oh, they're so different, aren't they? I think I have a different existence in the studio, and by now I've been working with my producer for a good 6 years, so it just is, I don't know, its own environment, you know? Actually, what I find interesting is when I've actually been touring with this album, with Love at Last, which people do all the time in sort of the pop world, you know, you tour an album. But when you try to take a collection of small pieces like this is 24 tracks, and they're all quite short, and they all do tell a story, and they have an arc. And so I conceived of this as an album. You know, whether or not people listen to full albums anymore, I hope that they do. I want them to. And so that's how I created this. And so it's an interesting exercise to take this to the concert stage. And I'm still experimenting with ways to translate the energy of an album into a live performance.
That is an interesting experiment. are you doing the entire album live when you perform?
More or less. And what I've been doing is sort of creating little groupings and whatever, subheaders, you know, and introducing those. And sometimes I specifically ask for no applause in between the pieces because, again, like I really did think of these as parts of a whole.
Mm.
In fact, when we edited and mastered the album, I sort of arm wrestled with my producer because I wanted very, very, very little space in between the tracks. I really wanted them to flow.
Yeah, that's awesome. And sharing that so that it is digested as a set for the audience, that makes sense.
And then what I find is that people are so appreciative of that. And I realize how much sometimes when we're sitting in a concert hall, I think we can't really just let ourselves be in our heads and hearts because there are these weird punctuations of, oh, I'm going to clap now, you know? it's quite bizarre when you think about it.
It know? Is.
So it's nice to just be in the space and the music.
I love that. That's really cool. The Association of California Symphony Orchestras, lovingly known as ACSO, A-C-S-O, their annual conference is back in person for the first time in 4 years, and for the first time in the organization's 54-year history, it will take place in the Inland Empire at the Mission Inn in Riverside. You, Laura Downs, have been asked to give the closing keynote speech for ACSO this year. What are some of the themes or issues you'll be highlighting for conference participants?
Well, first of all, it's such an honor, and I'm really looking forward to it. And it's also been really nice and unusual in my schedule. I've been able to work with several California orchestras this year, and it's just such a good feeling to have musical community that's close to home. But I think what we're going to focus on is community, communicating to community, redefining communities. You know, a lot of the programming that I do and that I bring with me to American orchestras is intended to open doors to audiences who, you know, may not be the standard and long-time audiences of those orchestras. Then this has to do, of course, with music by diverse composers and music that sort of tells American stories that I think are important. So we're going to be focusing on some of the work that I've done along those lines and some of the success stories and the ways that artists can partner with orchestras to really be impactful and authentic in various communities, reaching out from the beginning of a project and building community structures around every project and every concert. I think that we're going to take as a case study my newest project, which will launch this fall, actually in partnership with the orchestra and jazz program of the San Francisco Conservatory. And it's a reimagining, revisiting, reorchestrating of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue for the centennial. The piece will be 100 years old next year.
Ooh.
And a real, yeah, it's a big moment. And my initial reaction to that was not to sort of just celebrate it as a historical landmark, but to dig into the intention behind that piece, which Gershwin called a musical kaleidoscope of America, and to imagine these last 100 years of immigration and transformation in American life and try to infuse all of that into his mission, his vision for this piece. So it's really exciting. It's, you know, music from sort of the waves of immigration that have come here and changed our country and the way our country sounds, from the Caribbean, Central and South America, Asia, just really everywhere, and imagining, you know, the way that he saw America in 1924, but how would he see it and hear it and experience it now?
Mm, that sounds incredible. Are you kind of exploring iterations with new orchestration or vocals, or I don't know, spoken word kind of comes to mind? Is it, or will it be the piece in its authentic self with other components around it? What's that going to look like?
So we're starting with Gershwin's original two-piano score, not the Groffé orchestration.
Oh,
just reimagining from the outset, you know, what were the sounds that were floating around him in 1924 New York? And then, you know, sort of layering onto those everything else that expands into our current American kaleidoscope. So we're working with, you know, traditional orchestra, but also with Afro-Caribbean instrumentation and an orchestra from the Bay Area that plays, a youth orchestra actually, that plays traditional Chinese instruments, sort of highlighting, I think, that, you know, the jazz elements that are in the piece. We're bringing in some electronics. It's really just sort of expanding as we go, and it's such an interesting perspective. This is kind of what I love to do. And I think this is another important part of the work that I do with orchestras and that orchestras can do in communities, you know, to have the love and respect and appreciation that we have for our history, but also to be constantly pulling things into the present and even the future. And knowing that, you know, just because a composer puts a double bar on something doesn't mean that he or she wants it confined in that moment.
Mm.
And we can do that in so many different ways. We don't have to tear everything apart and reorchestrate it, but we can also dig deep for, you know, what is the context? What is the story that applies to our lives today? And how can we communicate that story to a wide audience and community?
Mm, that is so admirable. And the intent, like you mentioned earlier. What is this project called, and can Southern California audiences experience it?
Yeah, so the premiere, world premiere, will be in October in San Francisco. But before that, we'll be launching a series of podcasts, and I'm journaling about the project. We'll have behind-the-scenes videos, so I can send you a link maybe that you can share with your listeners.
Oh, yeah.
It's called A Musical Kaleidoscope, Rhapsody in Blue at 100.
Awesome. We will definitely be sharing that. That just sounds really cool. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll return to hear more from Lara Downs and some of the incredible work she's doing on Musically Speaking. I'm Margaret Worsley. We'll be right back.
In the arts world, marketing dollars are a precious resource. Spend wisely with KVCR, the broadcast outlet that reaches people who go to concerts, exhibits, and other cultural events. Learn how KVCR can help you get the word out at kvcrnews.org/underwriting.
If you're just joining us, this is Musically Speaking, and we're chatting with pianist and classical music ambassador Lara Downs. Spotlighting the work of underrepresented composers has been an open mission for you, from the repertoire you perform on your albums to the curated pieces of music we're starting to hear more on KUSC and just the radio, and projects like this one, the Kaleidoscope project you've just described. Has this approach been inspired by a search for identity, be it personal or national, or did you have a teacher who challenged you in these ways, or was it something else that has motivated you for this very important work?
Yeah, thank you for asking. It was entirely personal initially, and this goes back with me many years. I mean, I'd say it's a good, honestly, 2 decades that I've been playing in this sandbox. And it really did have so much to do with needing to understand my own place in this lineage. Growing up, I had no idea that there were composers of color, that there were women composers, that, you know, there was sort of this very broad chorus of voices that have contributed to our repertoire, our canon. So it really was personal, but it very quickly turned into, I think, a gift that I wanted to give, because as soon as I found this music and I started performing it, I understood so quickly how meaningful it could be to so many people, and how many people could be invited into, could feel invited into this space who hadn't felt included before. So that's never ending. You know, I think that's a big part of a mandate that we have to fulfill. And I don't know, it's also just something that seems natural, because this art form has always been in evolution and always been expanding. I think the problem in recent years is that we've kind of stopped intentionally expanding it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so rewarding to travel around, and also by virtue of the recordings I put out, and yes, the work that I do on air, just to experience the response and the widening of this community.
It is a gift. I love that. You're listening to Musically Speaking with me, Margaret Worsley. I'm chatting today with Lara Downs about her work in artistry and highlighting underrepresented composers in the classical world. You've got quite a few albums out there for our consumption. Is there one you'd recommend to some of our listeners who may not be familiar with your playing? Where would one start on their Lara Downs journey?
So, number one, I don't sit around and listen to my own records.
You don't?
You know what was funny? I was in the car with my mom a while ago. We were on some long drive, and the Schumann Piano Concerto came on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to it, and I was thinking, wait, is this my recording? But I was actually embarrassed to even think it. And I did it to my mom. I'm like, what kind of a jerk are you assuming that this is your recording? I don't know. How would I know? How would I recognize it? But somehow I had. And so then at the end when they announced it, I was like, oh, good. But you don't. I realized I didn't really have any ways to tell. But I do love that recording. That's a recording I made 5 years ago, something like that, with the San Francisco Ballet Orchestra.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of a hometown recording of Schumann's concerto. And then there are works by Clara Schumann and Robert Schumann on that recording. It's called For Love of You, which comes from a letter that he wrote to her, Robert wrote to Clara.
Mm.
I love the Joplin album that I did last year, because it was a chance, just like with this Gershwin, to really revisit Joplin's music and his legacy, and to reflect on both his classical roots and on the America in which he was living, you know, where everything was changing so fast, and on ragtime as the roots of jazz and everything else that came afterwards. So we did some really cool new arrangements of Joplin pieces for that album. That one's called Reflections, Scott Joplin, Be Considered. I love the new record. I think it's a lot of music by composers who are probably not known to most of us, and it's very global in nature, and that was intentional. There are composers from Iran, from Ukraine, from Brazil, I mean, really all over the world. And again, this idea that the intention is really at its heart always the same. So I think it's a lot of really nice little surprises. Yeah, Spotify is a wonderful place. You can just go on a Lara Downs binge.
Lara Downs binge, Lara Downs journey. No, I love it so much. I was listening just today to the Joplin record, and I'm not a pianist, but I love that that record is played on a beautiful piano. I love that your use of pedal. I think that the textures and the voicings that you bring out in this music is just, it's never been done before. And like you said, this music is really, really old, but there's new things to listen about it, into it. And I don't know. I think you just bring something very fresh and very beautiful to it.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I don't want to claim to be, you know, an authentic ragtime pianist by any means. I just really, I hear the music and I hear all of the strands in it and really wanted to bring that out. So thank you. I really appreciate that response.
Yeah, no.
Also, there's a great clarinet moment. I don't know if you listen to, it's Magnetic Rag. Had this line in it, and when I was working with my arranger, I said, Steve, that's a klezmer thing that's happening here. And so he wrote this great clarinet part. It's really fun.
It is great. And yeah. we all sometimes we hear, you know, these recordings and they choose like honky tonk pianos on purpose. And that's how I feel about it. And so it's just so beautiful and refreshing to hear it played really well on a gorgeous sounding piano. I love that.
Thank you. Thanks.
Will you be performing at the upcoming AXO conference as well, or just giving their keynote?
No, I think we're going to do back and forth to the piano. Joining me is Bill Luth from KDSC, so we're going to talk about the Gershwin Project. We're going to talk about, you know, just ideas in programming and expanding our audiences and connecting, and I can demonstrate all those things at the piano. So I know that Yamaha's bringing in an instrument, and I will use it.
Yay! Oh, that'll be rad. Like a lecture recital.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Laura Downs, it's been such a treat and an absolute honor talking with you today. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been really nice.
We'll be sure to post Laura Downs' website, the AXO website, and other pertinent information mentioned in the show online at kvcrnews.org/musicallyspeaking. Thanks again to Laura Downs for joining us today, and we hope to see you at some of the performances for the Association of California Symphony Orchestras here in the Inland Empire, August 16th through 18th. Musically Speaking is a production of KVCR News in collaboration with San Bernardino Valley College. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/musicallyspeaking. You can also listen on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Or search Musically Speaking on your favorite streaming service. This month's episode was engineered and edited by Rick Dulock. Technical and digital support come from Tim Steidel and Sean Houlihan. I do hope you'll join us next month on the fourth Saturday and following Monday for our next episode of Musically Speaking. I'm your host, Margaret Worsley. Thanks for listening.